Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Good.
This is going to be a different episode, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a surprise guest to jump out of the side.
Are you sure?
No, I missed you guys. I just wanted to talk to you guys.
I haven't really checked our YouTube podcast lately. How is our YouTube doing? Do we have any subscribers, or is anyone listening to anything that we're doing?
It sounds like it's a meeting, like an administrator.
Yeah.
Josh, what about those?
Well, guys, the numbers are not looking good. I have to say.
Do we have any advertisers yet?
No, but it's fine. You know, I think some people are watching it, and that's all. Like, I started putting them up as podcasts too, and I don't know how to tell how many people do that.
Okay. So when they listen to it from podcasts, where do they listen to it? Like, do they listen to it through iTunes or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never know where to find these things because I never want to listen to them again because I hate the sound of my voice. So I like,
really?
Yeah.
I hate my voice as well.
The sound of my voice.
I feel like my voice is better just through audio and not through video.
When your voice is attached to your face.
Because everyone, yeah, exactly. Because everyone, it was an audio. They're like, oh my god, her voice is just so calming. And she's the most amazing radio voice. And then I'm sure when they see me, they're
maybe not.
I don't think anybody edited
the podcast pretty well. I think because I got rid of all the ums and the oon.
I've heard a few people say that.
Damn.
Hey, are you doing anything for Comic-Con?
You know, it sucks because, like, we got free passes to go to Comic-Con this year. And we're like, I heard that they're going virtual this year. So I guess everyone can attend. I don't know if there's, like, I don't know what the limit is. But like, at least you don't have to, like, sleep on the pavement to get into Hall H. If there is a Hall H, I don't know.
I'm doing a panel for Comic-Con.
Are you really?
I'm on it. I don't know.
Can you tell us what it is? Oh, okay.
I have no idea. I know that me, Jean, Jason, Shiga, Jin Yang, Mari, Naomi.
Wait, I think I know what this type of panel is now.
This is just like a bunch of bros panel. I don't know, I'm not even sure what it's about. Let me look here.
Bunch of people of color?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's more Bay Area than anything.
Oh, okay. Who's the moderator for that?
Andrew is.
Aww.
That's why I'm on it.
Andrew Farago of the Cartoon Art Museum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only reason I'm on it. But, like, I think they're just going to do a few panels, which is weird for me because I'm going to really miss Comic-Con because I've gone to every Comic-Con since 2002. Even though I hate it sometimes, like, I hate it, I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I love, like, that whole craziness of it.
I love the nerdiness of it. I love the whole pop culture feel of it. Yeah. I remember that first time I went, and I just let myself go with that whole thing. Like,
yeah, I remember that. That was
I think you were, like, jealous that I was having this great time. Yeah. Like, because we would just run into, you know, celebrities, and then I met, you know, and then I bumped into Kevin Smith, remember? We were in the lobby at a hotel, and then just was all into just seeing celebrities get out of limos and go walk through the floor.
So
yeah, and then, like, just seeing them signings and just on the floor, and like, oh my god, I'm, you know, Hugh Jackman right there. And,
yeah. But then you hear this thing where it's like, oh, Comic-Con is still going to be around. We're going to have all these panels. And for me, those panels are the dumbest part of Comic-Con. I never want to go to those panels. It's not like I want to waste my, like, 3 hours of my day listening to some fool talk about Superman, you know? So now it's like that's the only part of the Comic-Con that is still there. It's like the part that I think is the worst. I don't know
I went to an Archer panel. That was fun.
Oh yeah,
I remember the panel with Ron Perlman.
I'm gonna miss it a lot. I think the Comic Con is actually happening this weekend.
What?
Yeah.
But that has no meaning, right? I mean, it's all recorded and stuff. So
yeah, I think they do some live stuff too.
I guess when are the Eisner Awards? Like, that's still something.
Well, my panel is this. It's called Comics Under the Clampdown, Creativity During the COVID, with Jean Kang, Mari Naomi, Jason Shiga, Ajun Mace, I don't know who that is, Awan Mance, Brian Fees, and Keith Knight. Keith Knight's going to be there.
So nice.
Yeah, I don't know what we're really going to talk about, but...
Yeah, what are you going to talk about? What have you been doing?
I mean...
Wait, I'll be right back, and then we'll talk. We need 5 minutes. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, we should...
We just watched Keith Knight. You know that slideshow he does about racism in America?
Yeah.
He's been doing it for, like, I don't know, 15 years or something, although I'm sure he's refining it the whole time, but he just did a Zoom version via the Billy Ireland Museum.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. That was good to see.
No, isn't he doing a show?
Yeah, there's a show. I think it's Hulu. I might be wrong about the network, but there's a show that's basically about him. I mean, it's not documented. It's a fictionalized version of him.
There are some books that I was very looking forward to, and I was excited to go to Comic-Con and get that, you know, you can't anymore, you know.
What? Which one?
Like, I'm really excited about the Adrian Tomei book. He's just been hyping it up on Instagram, and I keep wanting, like, every time I see it, I'm like, oh shit, is it out? And I don't know when it's coming out, but it looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited to see. I'm pretty excited for that book. And if you know, like, normally it would be, like, available early at Comic-Con right now, you know, you'd be getting it, you'd be signing it right now, but, you know, not this year, I guess.
It's in stores July 2nd.
Oh, okay.
So really? July 2nd? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think the production of that looks so cool, like, in a moleskin, you know, it looks like a moleskin sketchbook, and it has that grid paper inside.
Yeah.
I think the whole look of that is just really fun to have, and not just to read, but to collect, you know?
It is a little gimmicky for Adrian, though, huh? Like,
yeah.
Like, he's normally, like, that's something that I would be into, like, doing for my book. You know? I want a book that looks like a tape cassette or, like, whatever, you know? But, like, for him, he's normally not, like, into the things like that, but... I mean,
I would really love to have him on the show, because we could totally talk about that whole idea.
The book itself seems like a departure for him from, like, the kind of books, comics he's been doing for the last decade or whatever.
I assume this is sort of autobio, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought we were talking about comics, and I was just bringing out comics that, like, I've been trying, like, comfort comics, especially right now. And that was just one of 32 stories. Optic Nerve.
What is the book that you think you read the most when you're in comfort mode?
Well, I remember when I was starting comics, I just had like 10. Like, I mean, I had, you know, I did, you know, when I was younger, I saw the comic strips and, you know, Sunday Funnies and Garfield and all the stuff I took out from the library. But when I was doing comics again, I pretty much, like, had 10, like, comics that I had, like, on my stand. And it was, like, John Porcellino, King Cat, like, a small little, I don't know what version it was, but it was, like, one of the thin, I think it was for, like, it was a foreign edition, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, Bob Comics produced it or something.
Yeah.
And it was a thin one. It was, like around the same time as, like, Perfect Example, that collection, I think Highwater did.
Yeah.
And then the Optic Nerve stuff. And what else?
Sandman.
Sandman? No, that was Ken. Ken had all the Sandmans. Sandman. A lot of the Highwater book stuff.
Like what?
And we're getting the mini comics.
Oh, the mini comic stuff.
Yeah. Greg Cook comics was one of my favorites.
Besides some of the older comics that me and Josh have, like, you know, got into because of our, you know, midlife crisis, you know, Definitely the Adrian Tomini stuff is like the stuff that I can read over and over again. Yeah. Some of the stuff I find now is like too heavy for me to deal with during this time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, but what are the ones that you could read over and over again, like for comfort?
I love like Chester Brown's Loop. Mm-hmm. Real.
Yeah.
I just like that for the cartooning aspect of it. Just looking at how he drew it is just like very inspiring, you know? So there are definitely things that I'm looking at just like in terms of art, you know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily in terms of story. Like I don't think I can sit and read entire Louis Riel again, but like I look at it and like all the time to look at the art, and it kind of is a comforting thing. But like I can read like Optic Nerves over and over again, you know. I'm more of a fan of his later stuff than his, you know, a lot of people love those 32 stories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I really love like just like, you know, Summer Blonde and you know, the Vacation one.
I like the ones when he started to get published by Drawn and Quarterly, like the middle section, like the, you know, what was the one, Dylan and what was that one with the two sisters?
Dylan and Donovan.
Yeah, Dylan and Donovan. That time, like right before Summer Blonde.
Yeah.
And I think that was collected in Sleepwalker, that other collection of stuff. And I that was one of the other Adrian Tomine collections.
Yeah.
Early ones that I kept looking at. Just the look of those and just the writing.
So we got to get him on the show.
Yeah. We do. He was on before. He had that book about him getting married, which was cute. But
that was awesome. Is that the impetus behind this book? You know, like that was kind of his first kind of super autobiographical book that was ever released, right?
Well, I remember when he was doing I like we're talking about Adrian Tomine. Yeah. When he was doing Killing and Dying, and I had to interview him, and he was talking about how he was changing the way he does his comics because he had a son or like had a baby, and so everything had to be sort of like portable and quick and like you know having this huge setup. And so I feel like he's just sort of stripped it down to like the essentials of just like storytelling and drawing through this. I'm really excited to kind of see him work through that. And I am kind of interested in like all the stories he talked about being cartoonist and all his tales of being on conventions and self-deprecating.
What have you been reading?
What have I been reading lately?
Yeah.
Any comfort comics? I have been not reading too much comfort comics. I've definitely been trying to get through new stuff because I have like I just have been accumulating comics for years and they've just been piling up, and so I have been trying to plow through some of that stuff, but a real variety of things. Like I've been reading, like you said, like kind of old crappy, like 80s independent books and some Marvel stuff, but also like what other things have I read lately? I should have prepared for this.
No.
I don't remember, but I've been reading a lot of comics. I've been reading more comics now than I have for years, probably.
Yeah.
So tell me about the last time you guys went to that comic convention where you guys get those collectible comics. When was the last time you went to?
Oh yeah, I guess it was
before the lockdown.
I think it was the Berkeley one. We got some really good stuff that day.
I got a bunch of stuff at the Oakland Museum White Elephant Sale.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So tell our audience, since we do have an audience, so what is the fascination right now for you guys? You were going out to these conventions to pick and choose all these old comics. Like, what is the thing that you're looking for? Because maybe somebody actually has it and you're just like, need it. And one of our audience members is like, I have that. Like, what are you looking for when you're going through those long boxes?
My lost youth.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think it started with another comics podcast.
It's the moral of our podcast.
What's that other comic podcast that we were listening to, Josh? Kayfabe?
Kayfabe, yeah.
Kayfabe. I think it started with that. I remember, you know, like they did one. The first one I listened to was basically them going through Wizard magazine, and just like or they went through a box of comics, and basically just like looked at all these old 90s and 80s comics, and I was like, and then at the same time it coincided with a friend of mine was like wanted to give like all his comics away, and there were like 12 long boxes of 80s and 90s like Marvel and DC books, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll take them. And it was weird because it was at the time where I was like, I don't want any more stuff. I want to get rid of all my stuff. I want to sell books, but I don't know why I took these in. And through the course of like, because he had them all, like he had them still in the bags that were at the comic store, you know. So you see that store at New Universe advertising on the bags, and then like a little stamp that said like Mike's Coliseum, you know. It was like, I remember those from when I was a kid. Mike's Coliseum. I remember New Universe. I remember those bags, and I just like really got like the fever, and I was like. And Josh is totally correct. It's like, I really think this is my version of a midlife crisis. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not getting a sports car, but I definitely want that like Robotech number one that I had when I was a kid, you know, and all that stuff. And just like, and then now that we have money, you know, we're not kids and we have money and we have resources like cars and stuff like that. It's a whole lot easier to get involved, like to get obsessed with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me there were a few reasons for it. Like one, it definitely duplicates like how I got into comics in the first place. Like how I formed my taste in comics was digging through bins of discount comic books, like, and just based on like what looked cool, I was able to sample a lot of stuff because it is also cheap. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of at a time, like in the past couple of years, where I wasn't sure what I wanted out of comics anymore, like what exactly I was looking for. And so I kind of was looking for some new inspiration and kind of going back to the original inspiration in some ways. And then also some of it is just like compulsive collector stuff, like where it's just fun to, like for me, it's fun for me to like rummage. Just to rummage around in a box of stuff and come up with something that seems like, you know, that you haven't seen before, or that's like some lost treasure kind of thing. So
for me, it's gone from like wanting things that I already had, because then it was really easy to just track down and get all those stuff that I wanted. So I basically have everything that I like had that I want again. And now like through Josh and through other people, I'm just like looking for books that I should have gotten when I was a kid and didn't get, you know. And now I'm like looking for like all these like 90s indie stuff, or 80s indie stuff, and like 70s. Like I'm starting to get more into this silver age. Is that what that is, Josh?
I don't know exactly when the different ages end. I think 70s might be the one after like Bronze Age or whatever, Copper Age. I can't remember. What are you looking at from the 70s?
Well, you know, I love that 2001 comic. Like another friend of mine was like, I'm getting rid of my comics too. Do you want them? And I was like, sure. So he sent me a bunch, and it was like 2001. And we're like really into Machine Man. I think we talked about that earlier a while back.
Yeah.
Like some of Kirby stuff. I mean, I love Kirby's art, but some of his writing was kind of bad, I think. But I also like right now I'm reading Master Kung Fu, and I don't know if I can say I'm enjoying it, but I'm definitely like into the aesthetics.
Yeah, I feel like that stuff, it's almost like no individual story is that impressive, but kind of all together it imparts this feeling. You know, like
it the same feeling that you felt when you were a teenager looking at these things, or how is it different now? The appreciation for it. Is it more like
nostalgic now? A lot of it is nostalgia. Like, it's weird. Like, when I was a teenager, I remember thinking, like, Image Comics or whatever comics was at the time, that was the best. And, like, 70s and old comics, that's terrible. Like, I hate the yellowing paper. I hate how there's so many words, all this stuff. I like the cross-hatching. I want the big pockets. I want big guns and giant muscles. And now when I look back, those aren't the things that I want anymore. You know, like, I'm more appreciative of some of the old art. And I think a lot of that is nostalgia. A lot of that is ephemera. You know, like, it's just, like, you're older and you just, like, appreciate those things a little bit more. I should look. I've never appreciated like 60s and 70s underground cartoons. You know, like Zap and all that kind of stuff. I've never appreciated it, and I don't think I've ever really owned any. But I don't know. Maybe now I might enjoy it. You know, I might go back and take a look. But I've never really looked at a lot of that stuff. I don't like the aesthetics, the dirty aesthetics, and I'm not really into like gross potty humor and stuff like that. So I'm not quite sure if it's for me, but I definitely want to check it out, you know?
Yeah. Another thing that I've been like, I've been finding that like even bad comics, like I can get some inspiration from like all those 80s black and white comics, like just all like the amount of enthusiasm that comes out of them, even if it's like really misdirected enthusiasm, like is a little bit interesting. And it's interesting to see what people tried and what didn't work and what worked. And like Tim, like I've been looking at like some 70s Marvel horror comics, which is like a totally weird, I mean, it's something that I didn't really know anything about, but I happened to just like a long time ago, I bought a bunch of random cool looking books from 25 cent bins that are like, you know, like Morbius, the Living Vampire and Man Thing and Journey into Fear and things like that. And like, they're not like exactly good, but they're exciting to look at. Like they were definitely trying to make them fun to just like from a, at a glance, which is kind of a neat effect that they have.
But me and Josh, I don't know if you know this, Rena. Did we invite her yet?
I think you tried to.
Oh, I don't know if I should reveal this because it seems like it's I don't know what we should keep this a secret, but we're gonna, me and Josh are starting our own multiverse.
No, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And what does that mean again?
We'd love it if you
you're creating a what?
Comics. But there will be overlap between our books.
Yeah, so it'll be like a world, a so that like, you know, you can sell it to Netflix. You can sell the whole world. like Mark Millar, is that his name? Mark Millar?
That's exciting. So what is it? What is the universe like?
We shouldn't be talking about this since we've done exactly zero work. And
but I feel like you should talk about it so you can own the project so nobody steals it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you want in?
What? Yeah.
I will help do executive producing. Oh, it becomes a show.
Well, really, it's born from nostalgia for the old like image stuff, but then at the same time, for me, being inspired by what Charles Forsman was doing with Oily Comic. So basically, we want to do something like Oily Comics, but all the comics take place in a world that is one world. Like it could be all different characters doing all different things. It could be superhero. It could be, you know, fashion comics. It could be gag comics or whatever. But it all takes place within one universe, so that like, you know, at some point my characters might wander into
crossover. Yeah.
And whatever. But like the subject matter, the art style, the all that kind of stuff. It's all up to the person that creates it. It's like basically an Image Comics for indie comics people.
That's cool.
Are you in?
But what about if the style doesn't match up? That just seems
doesn't have to match up at all. Yeah.
We don't, I mean.
I love that idea though.
We're gonna have a house style.
Yeah, I do love that idea.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll put you down for a
But I mean, like
monthly.
Like maybe three issues.
All right, a mini series. I think you've been looking for an excuse to get back to doing like short self-published comic books.
I am. I've been looking for an excuse to get back to doing comics that are to me like fun, that like
Can I tell you
no vision of like how is this going to be published and like, you know, the, you know, like I really loved, I mean, that Chuck Forsman interview was very, very inspiring to me, just because, like, he just seems like a guy that loves comics and is just gonna make it, you know, and like, has, you know, and I think I've lost a lot of that in my older age and stuff like that. Like, I don't ever feel like I can sit and just do like some goofy ass comic. I think Josh in some way has found that again, right? Like, for a long time you weren't doing comics, you know, and then now you have this like kind of love for doing these, like, just comics that aren't like, doesn't have to be so important. It might be, but it doesn't have to be so important. It doesn't have to be so, like, you don't have to be so like precious with it. You know, just draw comics just for the fun of it. And I've been looking for an excuse to do that. And so I'm very excited about this idea.
I have to say that interview, especially during this time where it's, everything is just unsettling and just very uncertain and just very dark. And that interview just really kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things, and the perspective of, like, you know, just do what you want to do, and there's really no, like, everything is just everything else is meaningless, and, like, you know, things can change and life can change, and just, like, being able to tell your truth in your story and having a chance to do that. And I think us being, like, in our homes, like, we are kind of lucky in that in this moment that we can have time to kind of do that, have some time to kind of block all the craziness, but I mean at the same time totally be aware, but just be able to be creative and having that talent to be creative and to do and to know what stories you want to tell. And, you know, there's really no, there's nothing to lose, really, because, you know, life right now is just like, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Not to be morbid, but
I mean, like, I've been doing these daily comic strips during this quarantine, you know, and just like one a day, and it's like helped me in so many ways. Like, one of the, you know, it's like it's helped me to kind of process a lot of the stuff that's happening, you know. And so like every day I have to think, like, it takes me about an hour and a half to draw the comic, right? But it takes me like almost all day to come up with what I'm going to write or what I'm going to draw about. And a lot of the times that I'm trying to come up with what I'm writing and drawing about, those are the days, that's the time that I'm actually thinking about what is happening in the world right now. You know, like, should I draw something about, you know, the protests that are happening, or should I draw something about how, you know, everyone is starting to, like, open up too early or something, like, and all that thinking has really, like, started, like, lets me kind of just process what's happening and how it's affecting me and how it could be affecting other people and stuff like that. So it's been, that's been a total blessing. And then it's also done that other thing where it's, like, really gotten me back into drawing comics just for the heck of drawing comics, you know, because they're, like, you know, they're an hour and a half of my time. They're, like, three panels. It's super quick. I throw it on the internet, and it's, like, it doesn't matter, you know, like, it doesn't matter if, like, you get, like, you know, if it's a masterpiece, or if this one happens to not be that good, or if this one's funny and this one's not funny and this one's serious, it just doesn't matter. And it's nice to be able to draw comics that way again. You know, I haven't been able to do that in such a long time.
They're really good. And I think it's part of that thinking that it just doesn't matter. It, like, frees you to make better comics. Like, because, like, when you're not worrying and second guessing, stuff will come out of you that's you know, just impressive thoughts.
I really, like, fell, like, into comics where I made a lot of rules for myself for some reason, you know. Like, I'm like, I want to draw comics with no narrations anymore, and I want to draw comics with this and that. And then when I did this strip, I'm like, F it, I'm gonna do narrations. There's some that I don't do narrations, and there's some that I, you know, like, and I'm just, like, kind of experimenting with all these things that I love. And, like, it's like really freeing. Like, it's, like, really inspired me to, like, do comics in the way that I did comics when I first started doing comics, as opposed to, like, setting all these rules for myself and, like, having all these, you know, expectation for myself, you know. So it's really great. Yeah. So I'm excited for, I mean, I'm eventually gotta stop doing it soon, because it's kind of running out of things to say, you know, about this. Like, And at the same time, you're like, maybe I can't, you know, there's nothing more to say because I shouldn't, you know, I should be listening, you know, there's like a lot more, like, it just seems like I gotta stop soon. But I mean, at the time that I've been doing it has been like really great. And I'm very excited to do like the next thing, you know?
Yeah, pour that energy into our multiverse, yeah, or whatever.
Exactly.
What about you, Rena? Like, what have you been working on?
That really rings true, though, because there was this, you know, I've been, since kind of Chuck Forsman has been inspirational, but just like getting to watch shows now and like you're having a chance to read more and also reading other people's comics more, it's really inspired me to start working on my next book. And so I've just been doing a lot of writing and just a lot of research on it. But what's funny is there was just this one morning where I was just feeling really, really down, and I just needed to just sort of write about it. Like, so I did this really crude comic right before work. I worked doing my day job, and just I was just like, I'm gonna just get this out, I'm gonna put it on Instagram, whatever. And like the writing was like horrible, it was illegible, and I just hurried up and did color pencil, and I was just like, I'm just gonna throw it up there, whatever. But I just really needed to just do it for myself, and it was sort of like a release for me, because I was just, it was just all these emotions I needed to let out. And I had gotten so many likes on that one, like, quick comic, like, not even a comic, it was just basically, like, me talking about, like, how I've just been crying and just, like, fears and stuff. And it's mostly because people are feeling the same feelings. Like, it's a simple, it's just a simple comic, but it's really what people are feeling. And I think that's the nature, that's what comics is right now. It's just, like, it's a way to connect and a way to, like, you know, we're all sort of in our little hut homes, and you know, we're just trying to connect in some way. And I think, you know, people are just feeling those, that same energy. So with that, I was just like, oh, that's awesome. But also, like, I've just been really inspired to write a lot
for my next book. I saw you
drawing a lot. Yeah,
you posted like that you had some breakthrough writing a few days ago. What was that about?
So I'm writing this, this is like my first foray into fiction, and it's also like historical fiction. So I have to also just, there's this whole thing of, it's film noir too, so there's another element of just it being all crazy and not making sense, because film noir is just like, there's really no, sometimes it doesn't make sense, like the plot itself, sometimes there isn't a plot, it's just more about the feeling and the what happens. But then it's all set in the 1930s in San Francisco, and it talks about the Filipino immigration, and that sort of, that's backdrop. So I also have to kind of be true to the history of that and be and respectful of that. So it's just kind of fusing those two, like, oh well, it's fiction, so I can just be play around with it and like take liberties with it, but also at the same time you want to be truthful and not make this whole time and period trivial, because you want to talk about it and want to share something that hasn't been talked about at all. So I've been working on that, but there's also just like trying to piece this one little thing in the story that just wasn't making sense. And what I did was, I was just talking to Ken, my husband, I was just like, you know, I just need to really just like talk this out to you, and just to see if this makes sense at all. So I'm telling him the whole story, what's going to happen. And then while I was talking to him, I had this breakthrough, like, oh, this is what this book is really about. And this is the whole crux of it. And then I just was like, oh my God, like now I can be very confident in making this book, because I know what it's like there are a lot of times where I'm like, I don't know where this book is going. And so like, I just wanted to like, I just need, from like all my other experiences, I'm like, I really need to like plan this out better. Like I need, like I have time now, I really need to do this right. But so I was just like, had this past weekend, I just had this like, holy, this is what this book is. And so like, I wrote it down, like, thank God I wrote it down. Because I was saying, we should have recorded that. I was like, we should have recorded that conversation, because I don't remember. So I wrote it down, like in that Instagram post, I highlighted the area where I was like, that was the one missing piece that pulled it all together. And so now I feel super confident about it. I feel very excited where it's going to go. And I'm also kind of excited of how I'm going to draw it. It's going to be like, I'm just limiting it down to like four, like a really, really small palette. Like, it's not going to be this Technicolor thing. But it's still going to be colored pencils, but it's also bringing in the horrible non-archival Copic markers. So, but I'm just trying to be free with it and just have fun with that part of the drawing part. And so some of it's on Instagram. So I've just been having fun with that. So
those look really good.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you about the markers, because I don't remember you doing.
No.
They're like these really transparent.
Yeah, they're like shades. Thick. Yeah, they're those thick, like, artists, graphic artists, markers. They're totally not archival.
Here's what archival
years. Yeah, so it's all, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, who cares? I'm going to scan this anyway.
Yeah, once you've scanned
it in. Nobody cares about originals. Nobody buys my
archival once you scan it in.
Yeah.
I love your new markers.
New markers.
they look good.
Yeah, they look great, because I love, like, the imperfectness of how markers are, you know. Yeah. And some people, like, work so hard to make the markers as smooth and as perfect as possible. And mm-hmm. I really like that you are just, like, owning that, like, that imperfectness of it, and, like, you know how, like, it doesn't go on completely flat and even, you know, and
yeah,
like, it, like, reacts to the marker that was underneath it, like,
right.
Even whatever. And I that's what I really liked about, you know, it does feel very free. It feels like you didn't even think about it. You just, like, drew it. It's great. Yeah, I like that. I mean, and I love that piece that you did where you were like, and I was like, whoa. I remember reading it going, oh, Rena, you know, like. And I was hoping that was going to be, like, one of many, you know,
yeah.
Going to be a continuing series or not weekly or
anything. Yeah, no, I did have another one I was going to do, and I was like, oh, this doesn't sound right. So it just didn't feel true. And then, you know, but yeah, I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah. Josh, what have you been doing?
I just did a couple mini comics. I just printed a couple mini comics. So, like, I think Tin's read on me was pretty right, that I sort of, like, had lost a lot of enthusiasm for comics, or you know, I didn't have time for a while to do much in comics. And then I also lost a lot of confidence, like, in just, like, do my comics have any value? Like, am I saying anything interesting here? Like, maybe I shouldn't be putting this stuff out there. And
yeah,
I
kind of worried about you, Josh.
Really? But I think I kind of reached a point. I don't know what it was exactly, but I had, like, a bit of a breakthrough where it's like, I just like making comics, and mm-hmm. I don't want to not do that. And mm-hmm. so I should stop worrying about whatever an audience might think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fireworks going off. But and just, like, you know, do what I feel like doing. And so since then I've done a few mini comics, whereas, like, for years I hadn't done any new. I'd done, like, various, you know, comic strips for money for clients and stuff, but now I'm just doing, like, self-published mini comics, and I don't really have I wouldn't say it's great that I don't have a plan for, like, what to do with them once I finish them, but I'm doing them. So yeah, I started this science fiction story about kids in, like, kind of a outer space community. They're orphans, and there just aren't that many kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really was just trying to set up an ensemble cast of characters that I could then tell, like, further stories with, to, you know, about whatever in that world I felt like talking about. But I just wanted to start off with, like, a setting and some interesting characters that I could, you know, I always like the idea when an author talks about, like, oh, you know, I just kind of do what the characters tell me to do, you know, like, they're like, what would this character, and I don't know if I'd ever really created, I'd never really tried to make comics in that way before. So I've been doing that. I've been working on comics again. It's fun.
I'm really excited to be seeing you doing that and to see you post that. Like I've been missing your comics for a long time. So and just like seeing you have the joy of doing it too.
Yeah.
Just really happy to see that. And yeah. I also like the whole thing with like I get it now with like fiction, trying to figure out characters and what their stories are and their backstories are. Like it's really exciting to kind of trying to figure out where they go, and because you know that story is like starts with you making it up. It's not just stuff like you know from like autobio where you're like, oh, I know where this is from. So I mean, just it's exciting to like do that, and like also when we were talking to Chuck, like just having strong characters, like how important that is, especially in fiction.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, I just got his new issue of Automa in the mail today.
Ooh.
Oh, you're getting the issues too?
Yeah.
The PDF. Oh, that's so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, fiction. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, fiction is really. It's a lot of different challenges, right? Like it's, you know, I've done, you know, a little bit of autobio, but also just some like nonfiction about other subjects. Mm-hmm. And I feel like fiction is just such an interesting challenge. It's like, there's so many different aspects of it that you have to bring together into this like interlocking puzzle, which I guess that makes it sound like a little bit cold and clinical, but I don't know. I feel like there's that challenge aspect, and then there's like, you know, that the challenge of doing that while not having it be cold and clinical. Can you hear all those fireworks that are right outside my house?
Sort of, but it's not too crazy.
I can't hear it over the fireworks that's right outside my house.
What were you gonna say, Tim?
I was just gonna say I think this quarantine, you know, like I mean I started to feel a little bit more inspired even before the quarantine. But it wasn't until this quarantine, like just being at home all the time and having to think about my thoughts and having the book and comics market kind of shut down for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know that's terrible, but for me, it kind of like freed me to be like, you know, now it's time to do things just for the sake of doing it, mm-hmm. you know? And it's been you know like it's been a mixed blessing, because during this time is I think I really found my like my desire to do stuff again, but at the same time, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and like, you know, like social upheaval and stuff like that, but you know, like it's a good to have that inspiration back. Now it's hard because you also have to couple that inspiration with like just the fact that you're old now. You know, like when we were younger, you would get that inspiration and you have the time and the energy and like all the stuff to like do the things that you say you want to do. And now I have that, like I want to do certain things, but at the same time, I'm like starting to feel like, oh crap. Longer to do this than
I do feel like the time, yeah, I feel like I'm running out of time. Yeah. more so. I mean I'm not old, but like I feel like the
there's some desperation.
My favorite mini comic, like that era mini comic I did when I was, you know, almost out of college. I remember doing that in a month. Like it was like 40 pages. You know, I remember just doing it in a month and like you published, printed and everything. And, you know, like you look back on it, like it's the art and stuff like that is super raw. But like just the fact that I was able just to sit down and tell a story in a month's time is inconceivable to me now, you know, like it just seems like that would be very hard to do.
So, no, but you've been doing a comic strip every day for 100 days almost.
Yeah.
You have to approach it like that, like just feel like it's low stakes. Yeah,
breaking it up into like things. I think, you know, like I might take these comic strips and make a mini out of them just to get back into the rhythm of making a mini. I haven't made a mini in some years, you know. So I'm excited to like do that again, you know. Like I'm excited to come up with a way of like, you know, how I can make it, like how I can do it so that I can make it limited to only 25. You know.
Yeah. Again, I mean, you always did that, right? You had a low, you had a small print run.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, do you have your issue? Oh, there it is.
This is it. And so this is a magazine. This is magazine size, right? So it's 8.5 by 11, and it's just black and white photocopy. Like, I kind of like the cheapness of that format, but I have to admit it's also just because of my oldness. Like, you know, that used to be what we could afford to do. Mm-hmm. And now, like, when I look at what people are self-publishing, it's so much elaborate stuff that the cost of things must have come down enough to make it.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are just, you know, like, I was talking to some of the younger, we were talking to Melissa, who is, he's like a person we draw with on Wednesday. And she,
Melissa, just for our audience.
Yeah, I can't.
Pagliana?
Yeah.
Pagliuca.
Yeah.
She, I have her book over there.
There's this book called, is it Over the Cloud, Above the Clouds? And when she was talking about doing her mini, she was just like, I'm just printing it out of my inkjet. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Although that's not printed out of her inkjet.
Okay, but I was going to say.
Her mini, this was Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a Kickstarter. Wow. But we never did that. We never were like, hey, we just print comics out of our inkjet printer, you know, like cover.
I did do that though.
You did?
Yeah, I bought a laser jet because I was like, I'm so sick of going in the photocopy place and it not being right. And so I bought this cheap laser printer.
Uh-huh.
And did my, like the later ones, but like, I think the earlier ones, totally, I went to the photocopy store.
I remember thinking.
But I was so bad at photocopying.
Yeah.
I still have my original paste ups. I still have that for like Namby Pamby 1. I still have that. But
well, the stumbling block was always that it couldn't do two-sided. Like, it was hard to do two-sided.
Oh, yeah, that was annoying though when I had my laser printer. Like, how do I make sure it's upside down or what?
The paper.
And shake that toner. Yeah.
That stuff has gotten a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I'm still being very careful in that, like, I'm wearing a mask all the time.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And, good.
And I am I'm constantly sanitizing my hands and washing my hands. But
good.
I go out somewhere every day. You know, like I can't. I feel like I'm at the point that if I stay in for consecutive days, I might go crazy.
I feel like that's probably what's happened to me, because I have not really gone out. I've gone on long drives and stuff, but I have not gone out and actually gone to a store.
Oh.
Although I might have to go out tomorrow. But yeah, so I feel like I am. The crazies are sneaking up on me. Like, I don't think I am crazy, but I feel like there are little things that are just like, just screwing me up. But I mean, it's not obvious, although I did have sort of a breakdown this morning. But everyone else is having that, so it's fine. It's normal. It's not like abnormal anymore. I think we need to go outside. At least get your vitamin D.
I'm going to do a comic book store tour tomorrow.
Oh, what's open now?
Well, I know that Flying Colors is open.
Down near San Jose.
Yeah. No, they're in Concord.
Oh, Concord. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go to Flying Colors, and then I think Mission Comics is also open. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it's like open in the way that it's like three people in the store. You wait in
line. And you have to order
and stuff like that. At least like, that's what I hope. I mean, it would suck if I went there like 15 people and I would freak out and I don't think I can go in. But I just want to go and just be in the comic store for a while, and I'm hoping at some point this weekend I might try to sneak off to a drive-in theater Well, my childhood drive-in was called Capital Drive-In. It's in San Jose. I think it's still around, so I'm gonna.
You sure? Oh, this one's called Westwind.
Might want to double check.
Yeah, I haven't been in such a long time, but I remember when the technology was awesome. Everyone was like, "What? You can just tune into an FM station and get the sound yeah. of the movie."
I think we're gonna go on a bike ride tomorrow, but I've been trying not to go like on unnecessary errands still.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you for your service. I think, you know, like for me, I'm like quarantining by myself, so
yeah that's like, tough.
Like it's a little tougher to do. Like you know, I've watched all the television shows that I can possibly watch, you know, like I don't know how many times I've watched The Office now, you know, so I'm, you know, I know that I think we're backsliding. California is a little bit in terms of like you know, we're doing so well with the COVID thing, and now like they opened up and now we're like
yeah
again. But I just trying to be you know, just to try to mask up and wash my hands, but definitely need to get out there. So if there's any comics you guys want, let me know. I'll look out for
some. One thing I've been actually ordering comics from people more. One thing I kind of realized, I recently went through and organized all of my mini comics that were just like piled up in grocery bags for years and years. And I went through and I alphabetized everything, and I realized I just didn't have much from recent years. Like all my mini comics were from kind of ended when I stopped going to shows. Mm-hmm. Because that's where I would get comics, and like I just wasn't able to go to as many shows, and you know, I was busy, and you know, and now we're not going to, nobody's going to any shows, and I just realized that like I totally had lost track of what was going on in like small press because of that, because I always was like, I would see online, oh, somebody has a new book, I'll wait till I get it at a show. Mm-hmm. But I never would go to shows, so like I started actually making more of an effort to educate myself on what's new and out there, and ordering some.
How have you been doing that through social media or through like distros, online distros?
Some distros, some just ordering from when I see an artist has a new book that looks cool, I'll order it directly from them. Whereas like I would always tell myself like, yeah, I'll get to that. I'll end up reading that. But I would always like just assume that it would fall into my lap from either going to a show or like it would show up in one of my local stores. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had a realization that that wasn't happening.
Who are some of the people that you've been ordering from? I'd love to take that down. I'm like, I want to.
I ordered a bunch of books from Domino Books, the Austin English's distro.
Who does he carry?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Like what did I get from that? I don't have anything laying around. I got the new issue of Tad Martin by Casanova Frankenstein, which was cool. And I just kind of got a sampling of stuff. I'm like, oh, I haven't really gotten a book by. I got a Nate Doyle book. I didn't have his.
Oh, wow.
Like books from like the last however many years, various people, and then I just placed an order with Floating World. So there's like a bunch of like little, you know, there's Spit and a Half, which has like tons of great stuff I need to hit up, and then also just like artists individually.
Does Floating World do box stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna interview him. Yep.
Okay.
That's a new book.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I'm just saying yes, because I'm trying to figure out what day we're gonna do it for. But
yeah, they like both Domino and Floating World are distros, but they're also and stores, but they're also publishers. So that's kind of interesting. Like they distribute stuff that other people publish and stuff that they publish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's they have cool. a lot of interesting books. I mean, and stuff that I just had just totally missed me because I was not making enough of an effort.
Yeah, right now I'm in kind of like buying mode, just because, you know, it started out as like trying to support local businesses, but now I'm just like really into comic. Just doing that has got me really into just buying books, you know, again. And for a long time I wasn't buying a lot of new stuff, but now I'm kind of into just checking out what's out there and stuff like that. So I'm excited to check that out.
Yeah. Like, along with my anxiety about like making my own comics, I had this like kind of growing dread at one point of like, I have to like stay abreast of everything going on in comics, and more stuff is coming out, and it's really hard to keep up. And like I would pick up a lot of stuff just out of kind of habit, and it was stuff that I wasn't really, was just kind of like not that exciting for me. So like, I had a reset at some point, and now I'm totally into comics again.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Arena. Are you going to be getting anything? Do you need me to pick you anything up from?
I'm trying to think. That's why I was
did
like.
Did you get the new Love and Rockets, Arena?
No, I haven't. Have I? Was there one during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think it just came out. Hold on.
Oh, you know what I really want to get? Like, I can't find all these things,
Josh. Are you just ordering them?
I want to get Frank Santoro's book, Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, that's good.
I don't think I've gotten that one.
Yeah, I think it just came out.
Oh wow, okay.
This I got at the shop. I went to my to visit my local shop and just curbside pick up some books that they were getting.
What's your local shop?
Fantastic Comics in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You went recently. Yeah, I'll pick one up for you, Rena, tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Unless you want to go outside so you don't get crazy. But here's a book that I got recently that I kind of I really enjoyed. I got this from Escapist, which is I'm gonna have to go back and visit Escapist as well, because I think they're my favorite shop. I think because they're local, and I think they're very supportive of local creators and stuff like that. So I think I like their store a lot. But they had this book. This is like one of Marvel's like oversized trade paperback.
Yeah.
Like big. It's a lot bigger than like their paperback. But I've never seen this artist before or anything, but his name is Trad Moore, TRADDMOORE. But like, it's like such a like weird, interesting style that's not usually it's just not usual of Marvel, you know. It's like, it's almost like underground comics or indie comics, but I think it's interesting. Like the visuals are just amazing. It's really cool. Yeah.
Is it a self-contained story?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a collection of, I believe, three or four issues. It is one self-contained story, and I don't think it might not even be part of the continuity of Marvel. I think it's just a standalone story. So it's pretty rad. It is it's just a rad looking book, you know.
So anyway. It looks like poster art kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it just looks like it's just. I mean, it's just something that I'm like, wait, this is like really interesting indie crap that like is just happens to be Silver Surfer. You know, I think it's cool. Yeah, I'm into it. So just wanted to give that a shout out.
Very cool.
Yeah. But we're approaching like an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody wants to sit and listen to us for any longer than this.
Yeah. I'll cut out a bunch of parts.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hang out with you guys and just talk about what we're doing and all the comics that you're making and reading. So
we should do this more, like every couple episodes we should have an episode of us three just
a post-mortem session,
just gabbing. We can jam on our multiverse,
just gabbing like friends.
Half gabs.
But yeah, okay, so I guess our next interview is Bach. I'm excited for that.
T. Edward Bach. Yes, he just came out with a book that was released like in March, and he was going to do this whole book tour and stuff, and like everyone else who has a book released around this time couldn't do that. So again, we're just trying to like promote people who have new books out, especially, yeah. But also just, you know, people we want to talk to.
Also, this is a long time coming. We wanted to talk to Bach.
Yes. So. Yeah. Yeah, he reminded me of that.
All right. Well, bye, buddies.
Bye, guys. Bye, buddies.
Buddies.
Thanks. Bye.